Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We're going to continue on and finish up our study this morning on David the man. We're going to finish the study as far as our worship lesson. I don't think we could finish a study of David and his life if we took a couple of years. And that would be, you know, impossible to look at all the lessons. But we're going to look, we looked last week at David the man. The week before that, we looked at probably the most renowned story about David, his fight with Goliath, and the symbolism that we have giants in our lives that we face. But we started looking at David the man, him being a young man when he fought Goliath, that he was an obedient, faithful son to his father, how it bothered him that others were defying the word of God and cursing God. That bothered him. How he was victorious not only with Goliath, but victorious against the Philistines as a commander, and how Saul started being jealous. We looked at the lesson of jealousy. You know, David was supportive of Saul. David was doing God's work, but how Saul got jealous and tried to end David's life. But yet David did not had the opportunity to end that persecution, had the opportunity twice to kill Saul, but he didn't. He didn't. He respected God's anointed king, and he didn't. He forwent that advantage and didn't do it. It gets us now to the point where David himself was anointed king. It is talked about in detail in 2 Samuel, the second chapter. But in Acts 13, when Daryl read our scripture this morning, it got into that, and I'd like to read that again. It says, "And when he had removed him," talking about King Saul, when he had removed him, "he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." What a testimony by God about an individual. This is something that we would be proud that if God said that about us, that he is a man after my own heart, that he searches after my heart, that he will do all my will. Now, we know, in general, people sin. It's not whether David was a perfect individual or not. That has nothing to do with it. David wasn't anointed king because he was perfect. But he was a man after God's own heart. He sought after God's will, and he will do God's will. And God was confident of that about David. I hope when it's all said and done, I hope God can say that about me. That my servant did all that I wanted him to do. Not that he was perfect. Not that he was perfect. That has nothing to do with it. And we're going to see that. But God was pleased with David. He was a servant. He was anointed to be king of the Israelites. And he will sin as king. He will commit adultery with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, we see the account where David saw Bathsheba, a married woman, lusted after her, and committed sin. David wasn't perfect. And I can't explain, as a Christian, I can't fully explain that fine line between being a man after God's own heart and yet being a sinner also. God was pleased with David. He wasn't pleased with this action. And David's going to have consequences over it. That's one thing we see. As much as God was pleased with David, there were still consequences for sin. Oh, well, I love David. He's a good old boy. I'll let him slide on this one. We do that sometimes. We look at people and we sometimes hold the sin that some commit as worse than the sin others commit. God doesn't. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And in the Bible, sin is sin. But the plot thickens. It doesn't stop here. David committed sin by committing adultery with Bathsheba. But he then commits sin trying to hide sin. And haven't we been there? Maybe we lie to try to cover up what we had done. We commit one sin, and out of the sin of pride, not wanting to face the consequences of that, maybe commit another sin to try to cover that up. And that's exactly what David did. And this is a sad story, and it affected so many other people. In 2 Samuel 11, starting in verse 14, we see David had gotten Bathsheba pregnant. He's trying to make it to where he's bringing one of his loyal officers home from duty so he can spend some time with his wife, to where when her pregnancy is found out, it would be obvious and natural. Uriah has not been around. So if she winds up being pregnant, it's kind of this is something that Bathsheba could be stoned to death for. Wouldn't that be kind of odd? The king of the Israelites ordering the stoning of the woman for adultery when he was the one that did it. That's a little hairy situation there. Uriah was loyal to David. And while the army was off fighting, I'm not going to spend time at home. I am loyal to you, King David. And so it says, in the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He sends the note with Uriah, the man that he's going to have killed. He delivers his own death warrant. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. And he gives it to Uriah, a loyal officer, to go deliver it to Joab. David committed sin. And then commits sin to hide sin. And we see, as with the whole Bible, he will be confronted and will have to answer for that sin. We looked at this parable at the beginning of our Sunday morning class about parables. If you're not used to coming to Bible class, we've got two adult classes. Daryl teaches one in the large classroom. I'm teaching one on the parables of Jesus. But we used this to introduce our study of parables. David was told a story. He didn't come to the king and say, "King, you are wrong. You're a sinner." Because the next thing after David's done this, probably the next thing out of his mouth would be, "Off with your head." David's told a story about a man who had a visitor and he wanted to slaughter a lamb. But rather than taking one of his multitude from his flock, he goes to his neighbor who has one sheep that he loved dearly. And instead of taking one of the many, he takes that neighbor's one sheep, slaughters it to satisfy the needs. And David was incensed. He was beside himself. He was furious. "Who is this guy? I'll take care of it myself." And Nathan tells him, "You are the man." As the King James Version, this is the New King James, as the King James says, "Thou art the man." And when David heard that, don't you know, it just bore into his soul. Wow. I am, aren't I? I am the man you just told me about, Nathan. And he faces the consequences of sin. He said to suffer the consequence that child would die. The Lord would take it. The man that was after God's own heart, he couldn't let slide with sin. And if he's not going to do that, what chances do I think I'm going to have? God never said that about me. He said that about David, but he still made him accountable for his sin. I don't know of any places in the Bible that God took a ho-hum, willy-nilly approach to sin. Willy-nilly, will you use that term today in Bible class? It must be the only people I've ever heard use that term have been preachers. So it must be in preacher training school or something, the word willy-nilly. That's not a phrase we use regularly. But God never has taken that attitude with sin. And he made even David, a man that he loved, accountable for his sin. With all of that, David never blamed God. He didn't sit down in the middle of the road, moan his fate, try to tell the story to whoever he could tell, sit down and eat worms. He didn't do that. What did David do? He went and worshiped God. There's a whole lesson right there. If anybody had a valid reason not to go to worship, "My son just died. David went and worshiped. 2 Samuel 12, verse 20. After he lost his son, so David rose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He never blamed God. Isn't it easy to lose financial standings, to be hit in the face with a trial or a tribulation, and to blame God? David owned his sin. It was something tough to have to choke down. Sometimes those pills are bigger than others. I like those little bitty pills that the doctor offers. The ones that go down easy. I like those. Some of them are big old horse pills. This was a horse pill. David repented. David never put the blame on God. This is on me. I will worship you and praise you, God, in spite of what I've done. Because of what I've done. What a great lesson for us. And he found favor with God. His son will continue on the throne, partly because of David. 1 Kings 15, verses 4 and 5 says, "Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." It's kind of a two-edged sword here. A two-edged sword. He is remembered. He is remembered by God as a guy that will do everything I ask. His heart is set on serving me, and he has done it all the days of his life, except when you sinned. Except with this little issue with Uriah and all of that stuff surrounding that, you have pleased me. David, I'm sure, remained humble. Whatever he did, I'm sure he remembered this. Whatever Peter accomplished in his life, I'm sure he remembered denying Christ. Mm-hmm. Whatever Paul accomplished in his life and was responsible for who knows how many people to answer the gospel call, I'm sure he remembered every day, "I used to persecute the church." For everything good that David did, I'm sure he was driven by remembering this. God remembered it. He did everything I ever wanted. He messed up with Uriah and Bathsheba. But other than that, I'm pleased with him. And because of that, his son's going to be king. We see when David was old, laying in bed, dying, he gives an admonition to his son Solomon. What would we have to say to our kids? We never know. We had a lesson a few weeks ago, be prepared. We never know. From one minute to the other, we never know. But what message would we give our kids if we did have the time? If we had that time and could give that message, what would we want to pass on to them? This is what David wanted to pass on to Solomon. It says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die." David was a real guy. He's not some story in a book. He's not some mythological guy. He was real. He went by the way of the world. And he will die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Prove yourself a man. What is a real man? I hope you have been able to see in your life what a real man has been. I hope you've had an example in your life to see what a real man wasn't was Goliath. He was big, he was strong, he was strapping, could whip anybody around except David. There again, we know that God won that battle. Be a man, Solomon. Be a real man. And he goes on to say, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. That's what a man is. When it's easy to do and when it's not easy to do. In season and out of season, as Paul told Timothy. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways. To keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. You want to be a man, you want to have a good life, keep the word of the Lord. That's what I want to pass on to you. Not all the ins and outs of what it is to be a king. You'll figure that out yourself. You be a man. Make me proud of you. Serve the Lord your God. And David died. He went by the way of the earth. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, Jerusalem. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. With all the trials, with all the tribulations, with the heartache, the sorrow, the fear, the challenges in his life, I would like to end and read six verses that is attributed to David, the 23rd Psalm. With all of that, David was able to write, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We see that shepherd influence in his life. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was able to write that in spite of all the things he went through. This is a good lesson for us. I gleaned so many things from the life of David that kind of kicked me in the backside that I need to do, that I need to follow, that I need to be inspired to be better in. I hope it has you also. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, you are not pleasing to God. David was pleasing to God. He was a man after God's own heart, it said. You're not pleasing to God if you don't do what God wants you to do. God commands us to be baptized. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sin, don't respond to sin by covering up and trying to hide sin like David did. If you need to respond to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, Barbara mentioned Pat. Pat would like us to remember her in our prayers, and we will do that. If you are looking for a church home, if you live in the Las Vegas Valley and you've tried maybe a couple of other congregations of the Lord's church and would like to worship with us, we'd love to have you. We could use you. And we will put you to work. Whatever your need, if you would come, let your needs be known while we stand and sing the invitation song, Colin will lead us. Colin.